If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to Proverbs chapter 2, the book of Proverbs. You know, we have a number of greatly highly intelligent people in our world. The complaint is, ain't very many of them got common sense. So when we talk about common sense, what is that? I mean, we talk about oftentimes that, well, you either born with it or you ain't, one of the two. You can't teach somebody common sense. I would agree that you cannot teach someone common sense, so how do we obtain it? What really is common sense? When we talk about that, common sense is, in all honesty, is wisdom. It's understanding and applying it with some wisdom, discretion, and how we apply it. And of course, we know that the one who was granted to be the wisest man that has ever lived is Solomon. As a young boy, when he was to take over the throne at a very early age, God promised to give him whatever he asked for, and what he asked for was wisdom. And we today are in dire need of wisdom. Okay? That's not a political speech, that's a reality. We can have all the stats and all the figures and all the book knowledge, but you got to apply it to your life. I had a professor in college, had two or three doctorates, highly intelligent man, really nice man. In the classroom, he was superb. One day we walked out of class, we'd been talking or whatever. His name was Dr. Vetter. Dr. Vetter was walking down the hall, so we rode down the elevator, walked down the hall with him, got out in the parking lot, and he wandered around. And, of course, my past of watching people, I continued to talk a little bit and kept watching him. Finally, I said, Dr. Vetter, you know, walked over to him. I said, something wrong? You kind of paced back and forth. He said, well, I don't remember where I parked my car. And we'd had this new invention come out with the fobs that has the alarm system. You just punch that button and you heard this horn start honking. Dr. Reddy, your car is right over there. Well, that's really smart. How'd you know to do that? So, you know, and it happened more than once. It got to where, again, he was highly intelligent, written several books. I mean, probably one of the smartest people I've ever been around. But it started being where his wife would come pick him up. He would wait for her to come there because he couldn't remember where he parked. And he said, well, I know it was in a parking lot. I just don't remember what pole I was by. Well, it's a parking lot full of light poles, right? But wisdom had escaped him. Being able to apply what he had, he could teach it. And oftentimes, you and I, life is a teacher. But we also need to know how to share that. So look with me, if you will, and I invite you to stand and honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able, to Proverbs chapter 2. Solomon is here giving his son a lesson. He's telling his son about how to have wisdom. But it's for you and I also, and it's oftentimes that wisdom, that common sense, that just slips by us. In day-to-day life, it's so simple and so right in front of us, we miss it. So let's look at what his words were to his son. Chapter 2 of Proverbs. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasure, Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. You may be seated. Very quickly here. Number one, he talks about here as we read in verse 2, he says that you'll incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. There's a lot of things in this life that we don't understand. We don't see the whole big picture. We see with blinders to a degree of our here and now. And so he tells his son, he says that we have to incline our ear to wisdom. And then, if we do that, we will have understanding. And he goes on and he says, if we lift up our voice for understanding, and that we are to seek that in discernment, we seek it as a silver or hidden treasure. Well, he's telling us what it is. He tells us how it benefits us. But how do we obtain it? He comes to that here. He says we have to seek it. We have to search for it. He says if we, in verse 5, that if we will understand the fear of the Lord. Now remember in the Old Testament, fear means reverence and honor. If we come to the point in our lives, and I hear so many today about what knowledge is and how they believe they have a grasp upon life and the things of life. If you don't have the respect and the reverence and the honor for God, you don't understand life at all. You really don't. And you look at those who profess not to be believers, but yet they believe they have a full understanding. How can you have an understanding if you don't understand and honor the one who created all of it? You know, I don't understand how that the engineers and the scientists and all send spacecrafts into outer space. I don't understand how they keep a space station up there when there is no gravity. It just floats around. What keeps it from falling back? You know, I don't understand those things. And I don't understand them, but I do trust the people who were smart enough to stick it up there. Okay? So the same thing on that same level is here. If we don't understand, we don't understand all the things that life bestows upon us. But if we trust and we begin to understand the one who created it, that he knows best, our understanding and reverence to him that we may not understand it, but he does. And that's what Solomon is trying to get across both to his son and to you and I. It is the very foundation of wisdom. That is to honor and have reverence for our Creator. This morning we celebrated and do in remembrance of what Jesus has done for you and I. I don't understand the mercy and the grace that God has given. I really don't. If I created it all in my way of thinking, if I created it and it's not then what I want, do away with it and start over. But that's not his. See, his wisdom went beyond that. He said, no, what I've created is good. They've just lost their way, so I will make a way for them to find their way. That's why we say, through the blood of Jesus, we are redeemed. And he changes it from within. Look at it this way. We talk about when you come to accept Jesus Christ, you get a brand new heart. And the reason we say that you get a brand new heart is because our heart, our emotions, in all honesty, override oftentimes our intellect. God gave us a brain to use. But our emotions at times get so wound up and we're gripped by those emotions, it doesn't matter what makes good common sense or what makes physical sense or what is knowledgeable, we follow our emotions. Y'all kind of look at me like, really? Yeah, you ever done that when you spat off something out of your mouth and then when you really get to think about it, you go, wow, I wished I hadn't have said that. Yeah, you see, most of the guys in here shake their head. We've been there, right? What's the wrong thing to say to our wife? You know? We get it. That's when we realize we did what we wanted. The selfish part. What we thought was best. And you see, there lies in the problem of our old heart. Why it's tainted with sin. It's about pride, what we think, what we want. Not trust the one who knows what we actually need and what is best for us in our lives. So the very foundation of having wisdom is realizing that we don't know everything. We're not the creators of everything, but He is. And we trust that His guidance and His direction and His paths are better than ours. That's a little hard for some of us. Some people tell me I'm stubborn. I don't know that I'm stubborn. I just voice my opinion very persuasively, believing that others ought to understand it and follow it. Okay? That's not being stubborn. That's being persuasive. Okay? And if you don't get along with it, you're just ignorant and go away. Okay? Now, but in reality, we kind of laugh at that. But folks, that's really how we act. If you think about it, it really is. We think that we know best. If we don't take time to read God's Word to understand His works, His plans, His thoughts, His ways, why don't we do that? Well, I don't need that. I already know what I'm doing. Okay. How's that working out for you? And this is what Solomon's getting across. He says the very foundation is that you have to realize there is a God who is bigger, better, and who is our Creator. And we have reverence and honor for Him. And so he says that what we'd find in that immediately, when we start by understanding that, we have the knowledge of God. We have a true knowledge of how perfect He is in every way, how He is omnipotent, how He sees the future, not just the here and now, and how He wants to apply that to our lives. Verse 6, he says, "For the Lord is the one who gives wisdom." The reason we can't teach common sense, it's not ours. It comes from Him. So how do we learn that? We look at a lot of people who say, man, that guy really got some good common sense. Well, it comes from the Lord having reverence and seeking it. That is true. But how it was initiated that we start looking for that is we had a mom or a dad or a grandma or grandpa, somebody in our lives influenced us to look in that direction. You see, common sense isn't taught, it's observed. We see the reactions of it and how they're always able to work through things, but that actually comes from God giving them that wisdom. And if we want to be that one who can find our way through problems and be able to help others, and to be able to see the good side, as Paul tells us that we should always see, we should rejoice in everything, and that's a difficult thing to do. But that only comes from the understanding of knowing that God gives us wisdom. And when we have that wisdom, we suddenly have an understanding. We have an understanding that there's things out of our control that only He can control, which Solomon will later on tell us in Proverbs 3 that we should trust in Him with all of our heart and acknowledge Him in all of our ways. From Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, because we begin to have the knowledge that God knows better than what we know. Verse 7, notice he says, He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Just as God has a plan for you and I, our individual lives, He has wisdom to give us. It is that hidden treasure that unless we ask for it, we don't get it. If we don't seek it and try to have that understanding with that reverence of Him as the foundation and honor Him, it stays stored up. It stays in that box under the Christmas tree that nobody ever opened. It's the foundation to, you know, really begin to look at this, and I thought, you know, when I go my way and not His way, even though I know His way is out there, I really dishonor Him. Paul said it another way. He said, those who know the statutes of the Lord and disregard them make God to be a liar. You know, I read those verses before. I thought, well, that's pretty harsh. I don't really understand that. But over time, understanding back here with wisdom is that's really what we say. My plan's better. God, you don't know what's best for my life. I do. We flat tell Him that God is a liar. He says not only does He have it stored up for us, He said He is the shield to those who walk uprightly. He is our shield. He's our shield from the devil. He's our shield from harm. He's our shield from having to worry. He's our shield when we don't understand to place trust in Him and believe that He knows what is best for us. He is that shield. And He wants to, but His plan is one that keeps us from being in trouble and in a bind and having harm come to us or those that we love. Verse 8 continues and said, He guides the path of justice to let us know how to treat people fairly, how to do what is right. It says, and He preserves the way of His saints. That's a promise to you and I. He'll preserve our way. If we follow His statutes, if we let Him yield and let guide our lives and we seek His wisdom and we follow that wisdom and understanding that He gives us, He tells us right here, He will preserve our way. It's not that there isn't bumps and humps in the road, and there's a few potholes along the way, but He guides us that we can avoid those potholes as we drive along the paths of life. He says, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity at every good path. Right now in the news and all, we hear a lot about this equity. Equity is on every newscast there is. There's only one who has ever given true equity. His name was Jesus Christ. For you see, at the foot of the cross, we are all equal. Paul said it this way. He said, there is not a single one of us who have not sinned. Therefore, we are all in need of a Savior. We've been separated from God. When we come to that realization, we had the first foundation lesson of wisdom, that there is a better way than what ours is. Verse 10, he says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is a pleasant to your soul. When we gain the wisdom of the Lord and His understanding, we actually begin to get the peace and the joy that Jesus talked about, that abundant life. It's not about what's going on around us. It's about what's within our heart because we have a new vision of what is going on around us. We have a vision now to understand that God is in control of all things. No matter what takes place in my life, He has a reason and a purpose for it. It's my job to trust Him. It's your job to trust Him, especially when we don't understand it. That's especially when we don't understand it. We have to place our trust that He knows all and will make a path for each one of us. Verse 11, finally, he says, Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Those two right there, we are needed more in our world today than ever before. We talk about how does that apply to it? We talk about how there is so much, especially with young people, of suicide. We can't understand coming to that depths. You see, in this verse here, he says, discretion will preserve you. Our understanding that our life is not our own, it belongs to Him. He's the giver of it. Secondly, it says here that understanding will keep you. My understanding that my life is not mine, everything I have is not mine, it is His. He has given it to me. And if He sees fit to take it away, Job was a prime example. Job never lost that faith. He stayed with the understanding that no matter what took place, he knew he served a God who was faithful and would take care of him regardless of what took place. God preserved him. And in time, when the trial was over, he not only had what he had before, but many times more. Folks, that's God. The day of Job is the same God we serve today. He is always the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His wisdom never changes. His understanding never changes. You and I, as we seek it and mature as Christians, we're the change. He's the constant. You want wisdom? Listen to the words of old King Solomon. Seek it as fine silver. Seek it as a hidden treasure. And you seek that by reading God's Word, communion with Him, the interaction between you and I and what we have together as we fellowship together. We find out there's a better way sometimes. It's most applicable to our lives, most especially those times that we're in distress or maybe we're in sorrow or whatever we're in, God has got that answer for you and I. How precious it is that we have the Holy Spirit who is our guide and our comforter. He's the one who leads us in that path of looking for discernment, looking for understanding. It comes from Him. I learned a good while back that as I read Scripture, I don't understand it always, but if I'll ask Him to give me understanding as I read that Scripture, it comes. Not because I got smarter, but because I stepped out of the way and let Him guide me and direct me in understanding of what those Scriptures say. Where's the foundation? Goes right back to the very beginning. Where's the beginning of this world? With God. In the beginning, the very first statement, God was here. He created all things. Mine and your understanding begins with Him. That foundation we just talked about, it has to be based on Him. And see, you and I are separated from Him until we know Jesus Christ personally. So I want to offer you that today. If you don't know our Lord today, I want to give you that opportunity. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to offer you that opportunity. For those of you that do know Him, don't you want to continue to grow? The more I know of Him, the more I realize I don't know enough about Him. The more I realize that I need a deeper understanding of wisdom to know Him and to know what I should say, when I should say, and what I shouldn't say. When to be quiet, but just listen. So this invitation is for both. If you don't know Jesus, the invitation's for you. If you do know Jesus Christ, it's an invitation for you to get closer to Him. Seek His knowledge, His understanding, His wisdom, to apply it in our lives. The biggest thing about education is it's just being smart if we never understand how to apply it every day. That's the key point. That's the wisdom of how to take those things that we've learned and apply them in our lives to glorify our Lord and Savior. As we pray here together, dear Lord Jesus, I come today. confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask you today to forgive me of my sin, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior all of my life, even to eternity. See, it's that simple. The words of our Lord still rang true. We have not because we ask not.